minutes after the 1 o'clock hour. Welcome into the third and final hour of the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Dude, jam-packed first two. Now it's just you and me, Angel, and all the hooligans. We had Mr. Lytle on in the 11 o'clock hour. We had Scott Darnell, the defensive coordinator. First time I think we've ever had him on the show for the UNC Bears. And then CSU Rams head coach Jay Norvell. Jam-packed. Just jam-packed.
That's a lot.
It's a lot. If you guys missed any of those interviews, they are available via podcast at 1310kfka.com or theholeshow.com or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to our podcast. We're on Spotify. We're all over the place. You can subscribe. Just search The Whole Show, and you're going to be amazed at what you find. It'd be amazing, won't it?
Yeah, and there's so much to listen to.
Oh, tons. 3 hours of content now. Several big interviews. Angel cuts up all of our guest interviews into one segment, really, so you don't, if you don't, which I don't know why you wouldn't, but if you don't want to listen to the entire show, you just want to catch the interview, we've got it there available for you. Nice and quick. Before we get into the National Football League stuff, we didn't do our lunch rush today. Get thrown off with guests. It happens. Angel, I love your insight on this. College football playoff board of managers to meet with momentum toward playoff expansion. They will hold a virtual meeting on Friday, tomorrow, I guess this week, that could accelerate playoff expansion as early as 2024 if the 11 presidents and chancellors who comprise the sport's most powerful group vote on a format and unanimously agree to it and make that a thing. Here coming up. This was talked about yesterday.
I like it. I've always kind of been for expansion in college football, but not something drastic like 16 teams. I just don't see that working.
I would love 16 teams.
I think a good number. I've always pushed for 8. Just give me 8 teams, put them in a bracket. They don't have to do the bowl game tie-in if they don't want to. That's, you know, that's whatever. Bowl games are,
yeah,
if you expand the playoff, the bowl games become more and more meaningless anyway. So if you want to just make them semifinal games, quarterfinal games, whatever. I like it. The way college football is expanding and people are moving conferences, trying to get set, it almost feels like pieces on a board are moving around. And once the game starts, everyone is set where they're at. We're doing the playoff. We're doing super conferences. Here we go.
We're going to be doing super conferences at some point.
And if this is all an attempt to get Alabama out, good luck. Expanding it does not help. We'll still be there with 2 losses.
Try. We are going to get you. Oh, we're going to get you. Now, I personally love the idea of growing it to where every conference at some point has a rep. Now, I know that's not like sexy to Alabama fans and big college football fans, like fans of the big schools, the Michigans, the Alabamas, the Ohio States. I get it because you look at it and go, why waste our time getting to the first round of the playoffs and going up against a whatever, you know, a winner of a group of five, a Mountain West team, a Wyoming, a Boise State, Air Force, whatever. Why waste our time in a first round with that? And I'm just of the belief that if you spread out the playoff system, that at some point you spread out the 3-4 stars. I feel like the 3-4 stars might instead of choosing to sit on the bench for 2 years with Alabama, might go, all right, rather than be a backup or a third string guy until I'm a junior, I'm going to go to CSU or Boise State where I can be a starter. And if I go win my conference, I get our team into a playoff game, and suddenly my draft stock goes up because I'm in a big game and they go, wow, look at how that guy performed against Alabama. They lost 35-10. But Billy Bob had 117 yards and 2 touchdowns and like 8 broken tackles against Alabama guys. I just feel like over time, that would grow. But again, I don't think any of the SECs and the Big Tens, I don't think they have any interest in growing all of college football. I think they just want to continue milking the SECs, the Big Tens, all the gigantic moneymakers. Because why screw around when you're making more money? Just focus on what's making you the most money. I get it from the business standpoint. I get where they're coming from.
Yeah, and like you said, it's not going to be an instant, overnight, 1 year. Oh, everyone's on the same playing ground now. No, you're going to get blowouts in the first couple of years.
Yeah, you would have tons of blowouts.
Because you're going to get, you know, teams like Cincinnati or Boise State or whoever that get in, and have to play a Bama or Ohio State in the first round, they get, you know, trounced. But whatever, it's going to take time. It'll take 2, 3, 4 years for recruiting classes to come in, for younger kids to come up, for transfers to come in. You know, we got the transfer portal and all of that. It's going to take time, but if you can get it right and get it set up the correct way, which is this NCAA, you never know, get it set up right, and it could flourish in the future.
That's the thing. Like, play the long game here. You know, college football obviously is big money, and they've been doing something right over all these years because it's only getting bigger. But I feel like the expansion of the college football playoffs gives you your they're the king of the regular season. College football games are way better in the regular season to watch versus college basketball games. I mean, that's just the fact of the matter. Regular season football is much better than regular season basketball. I feel like football could honestly start to compete with March Madness if they set up this gigantic playoff system. Because right now, four teams in, it still just feels like national championship, kind of. I mean, it just feels like that. It's four teams. You add more fan bases to this, more chances for upsets, more chances for... And if you do eight, still, I think eight is... I would take eight. That's better than four. I was happy with four, and I wanted more, though. But I was still happy that there was a playoff system. I just don't feel like it's a real playoff system if it's four teams. It's not playoffs.
Yeah, you face... There's a lot of issues that come up when you talk about expanding the playoff, you know. If you consider automatic bids or possible bye weeks, how long is this tournament-style thing going to last? What's the NFL takes about a month and a half to get through their playoffs. You're going to ask these college kids to play another month of football.
True.
And that's a thing that's going to be talked about because they're, you know, student-athletes. They make their money now, but they're still considered students. And then it also goes into the regular season length. Do you cut it down to maybe 10 games, maybe? I don't know. And then your conference championship games, SEC championship, Big Ten championship. Do you even have those games anymore?
That's where, again, I agree with you cut a game or two. But I don't. I like the NFL style. Don't have a conference championship. Let's have the best record or best conference record. Probably be the same. Probably, you know, whatever. Whoever that is, whoever has the best record in the conference wins, and then you start doing your tiebreaker stuff. You know, best head-to-head, best victory, best win against common opponents. How many conference wins were those? All that stuff.
And if it's the super conference, two divisions of 30, 40 teams maybe, then you're just open to go with whoever is at the top.
Yep, and that's unfortunately or fortunately, whatever, I think that's the way it's going to go. I mean, will there be a Mountain West in 10 years? Maybe. But we may, Angel, have another branch of football just created where it's the college football playoff league, essentially. And it's SEC, Big Ten. And then everybody else is still here in the FBS where you're not playing for national title. Or maybe you do. Maybe they create their own. Maybe there's a national title game. Maybe there's a playoff system for the secondaries, too. Again, it's what you see at the FCS. You have UNC can go play in the playoffs, but not they won't be going up. I mean, they can play against FBS teams. They'll play Wyoming. But it's not going to, you know, they're not competing for that. And that's fine, but it just sucks for the local fans. Like, again, you have to hope if you're CSU, you can, everything you just heard Jay Norvell say, You have to hope that he can lead this thing, not just into wins, to more wins. Stadium's got to be packed, create a crazy environment, and then when it comes time to add more to these super conferences for this college football playoff thing, they get snatched up and they get put into a Big Ten or a Big 12. Maybe you have the SEC, Big 12, and Big Ten, because that's what it feels like, doesn't it? I mean. When you look at the monster conferences right now, it just feels like it's the SEC and the Big Ten and everybody else, right?
Yeah, those two seem like the two conferences that are looking to add teams. You know, you look at the ACC, what's going to happen to them? There may be only 2-4 teams that come out of that conference. the Big 12, you already got Oklahoma and Texas out of there. Who's left that can be those kind of teams? The Pac-12, USC, UCLA, they're gone. So who's next? If everyone's moving into different conferences, you got to wonder, is it even going to be SEC and Big Ten anymore? Maybe it's just North football, South football.
Maybe, like the AFC and the NFC. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe you just have, but probably a lot more, 20, 30 teams on each side, and you take the top, you know, eight teams from each side, and you have your playoffs, which would be great. You know, if CSU can get a chair at that table, might be few and far between when they actually go and can play in the playoffs. But you tell me, man. I mean, if CSU leaves the Mountain West and they go to, let's just call it the Big North or whatever, and or Big South, I don't care. Big East, Big West.
The Big Compass.
Big Compass. You're with the prospect of being able to be a considered playoff team, knowing that it's there, it's achievable, that if you win a certain amount of games and move up in the standings, you could theoretically go play in a playoff game. Don't you? Obviously, that's going to attract more four-star players.
Sure. I think about even last year, a team like Cincinnati that just,
yeah,
you know, they had a great year. They're in a lower, you know, group of five conference, but they went and had a playoff game. Yeah, they lost to Bama by like 30 points, but you got there. You got Desmond Ridder drafted into the NFL as a quarterback.
Yeah.
As one example, Sauce Gardner to the Jets. Like, it's a process. It's not instant. It takes time for coaches to come in and build their system. We've seen that here locally. It takes time to get recruits. It takes time to get the transfer portal in a way where you feel comfortable using it. And it's, if it works out and you give it time to breathe and naturally fall into place, I think college football could be really, really special.
Ah, it could be even. My biggest thing, like growing up, not being crazy about college football was because of the bowl thing. Like, I never liked the fact that it was, oh, we just take the two top teams according to the AP and all this stuff and the polls, and then they play they. We have the, that's it. That's the championship game. And we make them, I mean, hell, man. But in the 90s, it was just who was the, we just pick who was the best. And they were the,
if you finished one in the AP poll, you were the champion.
Then they said, no, we need a championship game.
But if you went undefeated, you could claim a championship.
Right. And that's why it was so messy.
Why Bama technically only has like 15.
But like, that's the thing. Then they said, no, we need at least a championship game. We can't just say you were the best. We actually have to make you play. Great. And then they had two, and they were like, we need an actual playoff.
You need two more.
And then you added four, and
now it's,
you added two more.
Need more.
And yeah, you need more, and you do. I mean, playoffs are not four. It's not four for a playoff. You need at least eight. And again, I've said it a million times. I think they need to expand to the point where it's more conferences. However, I don't think that that's the direction now. So now I'm looking at it going, CSU, go kick butt this year, and maybe you get invited to the table. I mean, that's where I am now. I love Mountain West football. I do. It's fun. Pac-12's fine, but I like watching Mountain West football. I do. But I feel like the days of saying, oh, come on, get the Mountain West going, get these teams to represent so that they can start getting some looks, so that if Fresno State does go undefeated this year and beats USC, they would get a realistic look at being in the playoffs. Now, I don't know that that's achievable the way we're going. I mean, it's big money. You want to put Fresno State in there, or you want to put a third or fourth SEC team in there?
That one-loss Notre Dame team.
Yeah, that's what you want, those teams. That's what CSU right now, they could go undefeated. They could beat Michigan on Saturday. They could go undefeated. Where's the best they could finish?
If you beat Michigan and go undefeated, win the conference, I think you're in.
You could go to the playoffs?
Oh, yeah. If you go to Michigan and beat them...
Well, go beat them, then.
Go undefeated, win the Mountain West, there's a case to be made to sneak in at four.
Wow. So there you go. There's their path. See, and I don't even think that would happen. I feel like if they beat Michigan and win undefeated, they would go... They'd be 16th, 15th. The bias is... And maybe it's not bias isn't the right word, but you're going to look at it and go, well, Harbaugh started a quarterback that he didn't really like, and, you know, it's the first game of the season, and he had a tummy ache. And that's how it would go.
I mean, Cincinnati got in based only on the fact that the teams above them that would have been your 4, 5, 6 teams just had two losses.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, because of the way the playoff is set up, two losses, you're done. One loss, it's sketchy.
Depends on what everybody else is doing. No question. All right. Well, let's do it. Let's take a look at today in the National Football League. I could talk college football all day, too. But a couple of weird stories today. Aaron Donald downplayed swinging a helmet at Cincinnati Bengals players in a brawl at joint practice last week. He said it was just a practice. It was football. I don't really want to go back to nothing negative that happened and talk about something that happened in practice. My main focus is Buffalo. It was just a practice. It was football. Now, again, we have seen games where helmets are ripped off of people's faces. But when's the last time you said it was just football when you see somebody rip a helmet off? Oh, that's just the football play.
Two helmets.
They're just out there playing. Yeah, he's like double wielding out here. It's like those fantasy games when you can choose to double wield swords. He pulled off the helmets and he's like, check me out. Come at me. He just downplayed it. No, it's just football. I don't know what you guys are freaking out about. Because we saw a giant dude running around practice after ripping helmets off of players and swinging them like weapons. Those things would hurt more than a baseball bat in some cases. If you get, especially Aaron Donald.
Yeah, I mean, if he was, you know, throwing hands just with his fist, it's all right. They got in a fight, whatever.
Yeah.
But you took someone else's helmet, two Bengals helmets that they're not yours. They don't belong to you.
They don't belong to you.
You can't just rip that off someone's head and hit them with it.
Don't hit them with it. Right. No question. So, all right, Aaron Donald. It was just practice, man. Just practice. Okay, fine. How about this one, Angel? Baker Mayfield is denying that he said he's going to F them up. That was the big thing earlier this week. The bulletin board material. He's denying it. It contradicted what NFL Network analyst Cynthia Freeland shared on Monday night's Around the NFL podcast. She shared on the podcast and everything and said that Mayfield repeated her words when she playfully told him to F them up. He echoed it back. Freeland said, I was very sure on his part. The tone was gracious and happy and excited. Baker Mayfield said, first, I didn't say it. Everybody is going to write whatever story they want. There's history because I played there the last 4 years. I'm an extremely competitive person. Everybody knows that. If I wasn't wanting to win, then there would be a really big issue of me being the quarterback here. I want to win in everything I do. That'll never change. But it's not how I phrased it. It's not even what I said. So let's leave it alone. Let's leave it at that. Now, I did think it was weird, Angel, because 2 weeks ago, he didn't talk about it much. He just said, yeah, we're just excited to go play a football game. He downplayed the whole drama of it all. That's why when I read that, I went, his tune changed a little bit. Now, again, it doesn't shock anybody if this would have been true and Baker Mayfield would have said this. But it did kind of go against what he said like 2 weeks ago when he more or less said what Myles Garrett said. No, he's played for the team. We know each other. And yeah, no, there's no ill will. That's kind of what he's been saying.
At the end of the day, it's probably that's what it is. These guys are professionals. They get it's a business. And sometimes, you know, media members, you hear one quote, maybe just passing or out of context, and, oh, that's my headline.
Yeah.
And, you know, it gets clicks.
Or he said it personally to her.
In just a conversation.
And then
she
used it. Because, I mean, I've had conversations with coaches off air, with players off air, and some of the things that they say, not that it's bad, but they've said things that I probably wouldn't expect them to say on the radio. You know, and I wouldn't relay that. I would just know, okay, we're just talking here. You don't need, like, you develop a trust with players and coaches where you just kind of know it's all off the record. You just have a sense of that. And maybe that was the case. Maybe he did say it. He didn't want it on the record. Who knows? 24 minutes after the hour. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I tell you what, let's talk about the Broncos. Let's talk about quarterbacks. Russell Wilson is a part of this very quarterback-rich NFL. What I mean is we're seeing some of the most high-profile, gifted quarterbacks we've ever witnessed collectively. And how do the Broncos now fare in that race as far as making sure you have a top-notch quarterback to lead your team to the playoffs and eventually the Super Bowl. 25 minutes after the 1 o'clock hour, it's a whole show powered by PDC Energy. It's Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKN.
Join Clark Johnson and Bruce Dick for Clark and their Coach. Weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Earl Boykins, former Denver Nugget, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
After the 1 o'clock hour, we're live from the Allo Communications Studios. It's a whole show powered by PDC Energy. Kind of the big news, the big story is that Russell Wilson signed the long-term deal with the Denver Broncos. Yeah, yeah. Susan and Cheryl just love that. Five-year, $245 million extension that includes $165 million in guaranteed money. Sources told ESPN's Adam Schefter. And our Method Flow Products poll question of the day is, now that Russell Wilson is essentially locked up for seven seasons, how many Super Bowls will they win in that time? Zero? A lot of people say zero. Is that just because you think the AFC West is just so strong? Like, that's leading right now, zero. Go to thewholeshow.com and vote. It's zero, and then second place is two. We got over 40% saying zero. 26.67% saying two, 20% with one, 13% with three. Nobody believes in five plus. Nobody believes that they're going to win four. So, but a lot of people are voting on saying, hey, they're not going to win any.
Well, it kind of goes with that narrative that was put out there that with Hackett, it's either success or failure. So,
what was Tanner Schwint's prediction this morning? What was that?
Somewhere else with that take.
He's like, I think they're going to win three Super Bowls, but not under Nathaniel Hackett. So that means two of the 7 years, you got to be bad enough to where they fire Nathaniel Hackett, which means you're not making the playoffs. So he's got the first. This is what the prediction. His prediction means to me: the first 2 years, they're not making the playoffs. They fire Nathaniel Hackett. They bring a new coach in, and it changes. And then the Broncos go win three out of the next. They win three Super Bowls out of the next 5 years.
You got to give a year for the new coach to get adjusted.
Yeah, so then you win three out of the next four.
Yeah.
I think it's two. I feel like two. I know that's crazy to say, but I probably said two when the Broncos got Peyton Manning, and they went to two at least. But I could see him at least getting a shot. You know, maybe going to two Super Bowls. It's got to be more than zero, right? Again, I know the AFC West, it's competitive as hell. And now Patrick Mahomes, I mean, this is his division. I get it until proven otherwise. But you locked up Russ, and hey, I mean, it does feel like there is a contingency of fans out there and media out there that have kind of, I don't say they lost respect for Russell, but they have lost some of that fire thinking he's one of the top quarterbacks in the league.
He's lost his edge.
He's lost his edge. And again, he was making, I mean, he was one of the top stat producers last year, even though he was out. I mean, he was, you know, he wasn't top five, but he was in that top, well, maybe not top 10, but he was up there. And he missed a few games. So, I mean, he had a good year, considering he missed three games and their team was bad. He still threw for 3,000 yards, 25 touchdowns and six interceptions. Those are pretty good numbers. Now, Tom Brady threw for 5,300 and Justin Herbert threw for 5,000. I get it. He was not elite last year. He was good, but he wasn't elite. But how much of that can you pin on? I mean, Seattle's offensive line was atrocious. So how much do you look at that and say, well, they just haven't been a good team for a while? And I think that's a big part of it. These guys can only succeed if they have a decent team around them.
For casual fans in the NFL, if most of the time they just look at your team's record and that determines, oh, that team's bad, that team's good, that player's great, that player sucks.
Yeah.
So,
no, I agree.
You got to go out and prove them wrong, and that's the great thing about the NFL is whatever your story is, you can rewrite it the very next season.
Do the Broncos have a good enough supporting cast to rewrite that for Russell, though? That's the question. Tanner asked me yesterday, he said, hey, you said last year that the Packers had a better roster than the Broncos, which is why you thought it would be stupid for Aaron Rodgers to come to Denver. And I agree. But the roster last year was good enough to win 7 games. And if this is truly a quarterback's league where, okay, like right now, who's Buffalo's backup quarterback? Billy Bob. No, it's not Trubisky anymore. He's in Pittsburgh. Whoever it is. Take Josh Allen out. He's out for the season, knock on wood, and put
Case Keenum.
Yeah, that's right. Case Keenum in. Are the Bills a playoff team? Good roster.
Very good roster.
So they're close, though.
I think, yeah, I'd have to hesitate on that one.
10 wins.
I think that's definitely possible.
So probably a 10-win team with Case Keenum. And that's because their roster's legit. Take Tom Brady off of Tampa Bay.
6-7 wins, maybe?
Yeah.
I think Tampa Bay already is going to take a step back, but...
Take Patrick Mahomes out of Kansas City.
Oof. Maybe 6.
Justin Herbert out of L.A.
Maybe 8. That's another team that has a really good roster.
The theme is the quarterback is going to make up for about 4 or 5 wins. Just that him alone is going to be good enough to improve your team. So that's what I'm saying. Like, no, I didn't think the Broncos roster was better than Green Bay's. But I thought you get a good quarterback in, and that would be the difference. You can win 10, 11 games with a better quarterback. And we're going to find out, but I think that's exactly what's going to happen. That's why I think it would be a disappointment if you only win 7 or 8 games this year. Because you can't do what you did last year with Vic Fangio and Teddy Bridgewater. You can't just do the same thing in year one. I know they're playing the long game, and I respect that. In some respects, it might take over. It might make this year not playoffs or bust because they are playing the long game, saying we want to do this for the next 7 years, and we want to build around Russell, and it starts this year. And they're going to say they want to be competitive now. They want to be a playoff team now. But they're building around Russell, Patrick Surtain, Javonte Williams, Cortland Sutton, Justin Simmons. Those are the core pieces that they're going to build around. So is that good enough to win or get you to the playoffs this season? Again, it's a roster that got you 7 wins with 2 backup quarterbacks pretending to be starting quarterbacks. Teddy's your backup now, Angel, in Miami.
Might not be for long.
Might not be for long. And Drew Lock is backing up Geno Smith. And they won 7, right? 6.
I believe it was 7.
And you're telling me that team can't be better? That's pretty much same core. I mean, who did they lose that's significant? They're bringing back. I mean, they're not having Vaughn to start the year, but they're bringing back most of their significant guys, their best players from last year. Justin Simmons, Kareem Jackson, Javonte Williams, Patrick Surtain, Melvin Gordon, Garrett Bowles, what you will about him, but they're still bringing back their core of their best players from last year. Yes, this team should absolutely win more than 7. They were 7-10. 38 minutes after the hour, Angel, let's jump out here real fast and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This is Ed Werder, NFL reporter for ESPN and a 1982 graduate of the University of Northern Colorado. Hope you'll continue to listen to the award-winning Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
Breaking news on this Thursday afternoon. Coming up from the NBA, Adrian Wojnarowski, a Woj bomb. The Cleveland Cavs have acquired Donovan Mitchell in a trade.
Spider.
Oh, boy. What? All right, so the Cavs have Donovan Mitchell now. He's leaving Utah. What does this look like? What's the trade, Angel? You got it in front of you?
Yes. This is from Adrian Wojnarowski, Cleveland for... Trading Donovan Mitchell for Lauri Markkanen, Ochair Agbaji, and Colin Sexton, along with 3 unprotected first-round picks and 2 player swaps.
Okay. Cleveland was 44-38 last year. Does that sound right? That's interesting. That's good news if you're a Nuggets fan. You just lost. You know, we know Rudy Gobert is gone from Utah, and now Donovan Mitchell's gone as well.
I like it.
Yeah.
Get him out of here.
Get him out of here. What are they doing? That's crazy, man. I thought it was still going to be New York, even though when they restructured R.J. Barrett's deal, that changed a little bit. But I still thought it was going to be New York. So this is a shock. However, doesn't matter. He still goes to the Eastern Conference, and we're happy about this. Cleveland was a play-in team last year. They're now, that's got to put them right in the thick of things with Cleveland. I mean, not the top teams, but makes them kind of one of the better teams in the conference. Interesting trade, though, huh?
Yeah, certainly Cleveland, obviously, since LeBron left, right, really haven't had a superstar player like that. You had Colin Sexton, who you drafted, but he's gone now, so you go get someone else, and Donovan Mitchell is a good piece to build around.
What about Utah now? Like, Utah has been kind of decimated, really, over the last couple of months. I mean, Rudy's gone. Donovan's gone. I mean, that's Utah was in a window in the bubble. They were in a championship window, some would argue.
Yeah, I mean, they had the 3-1 lead over the Nuggets. I just think of, the Nuggets, the Jazz, and the Suns have been competing with each other the last couple of years. Suns obviously the better of the three there, but the Jazz might have just walked themselves out of that.
Oh, boy. Well, now they have a new coach and everything, so not sure. I mean, that's interesting because I said, we were saying Utah's probably in the mix as long as they had Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert. Now they're, Brian says, frees up room for them to re-sign Malone and Stockton. They kind of feel for Utah a little bit, man. I don't know. You kind of feel for them. But it's better. Anytime the Western Conference can lose a couple of studs, we're okay with that. We're just fine. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Utah is going to have a crapload of first-round picks coming up. Yeah, how many first-round picks do they have now? That'd be interesting to see.
At least four.
So, building for the future. That's okay. There you go. Recharging, building for the future. 47 minutes after the hour. We'll take a quick break. We'll wrap up the show on the other side. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy and Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Sunday and Monday Night Football are on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Jeff Linder, head men's basketball coach of the University of Wyoming Cowboys, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
I didn't even look at you, Angel. I just went for it. All right, we can assume that Utah's going to be maybe good someday again, but it's going to be reload for them. Nuggets have Utah first game. 1-0, Angel. Still waiting to go down this full roster with you, or the full schedule with you.
Well, we got just 81 more games to go.
One at a time. Break into that. Take a five-hour day of it and just go into each game. That's another thing, dude. Like, I know we're all in football mode, but the basketball scene in this state, still pretty damn good.
You got the best player in basketball right now. So, better be excited.
Yeah.
You got the two hopeful superstars coming back. You got the young gun, Bones Highland. You got the coach. You got the team. Let's go win a title.
You got that. You got CSU. You got UNC.
You got preps football.
Preps football. You got Wyoming. It's going to be good, too. Basketball.
Oh, yeah.
Football is going to be rough, but basketball, they're going to be pretty good. They'll be all right. So that's the thing. We got all this football going on, and still, like, basketball's still coming up in a couple months, man. So it's going to be an exciting time for quite some time here. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. As for us, yeah, you mentioned it. We got Preps football going on tonight. Our full slate of football tomorrow. So tonight we have Eaton at University.
Eaton coming off a week one loss.
So they're going to be chomping at the bit to get after it tonight. So that game, so we got Rams Weekly at 5 o'clock. I'll be teaming up with Kevin Lytle and Chris Abshire shortly. And then we'll lead you in, almost, Eaton at University, 6:30 is when the coverage starts there. And then Friday night, big Friday night football action. Ready for that one? You know, Football Friday starts at 6 o'clock, leads you up to the opening kickoff. So, looking forward to it, man.
It's back.
It is back. Yeah. We have UNC football on Saturday on KFK.
There we go.
So, it doesn't get much better than that. Looking forward to it. It's going to be a blast. They play, as we know, UNC plays Houston Baptist. That game's at 1 o'clock?
2.
2 o'clock. Pre-game's at 1. There we go. That's what I was thinking. That's where I was with that, Angel. Fun show today, man. Started with Russell Wilson, big news, signing the contract. And then we had Scott Darnell, UNC Bears defensive coordinator. And then we talked to Jay Norvell, Colorado State Rams coach. I love what he had to say. We're going to break that down in Rams Weekly tonight.
Got all the beats today.
So good. So much fun. Love it. Love this time of year. It's a blast. Look forward to it every year, and it's almost here. I am excited for tomorrow night. I am. So sue me. It's going to be fun. CU plays TCU. Let's go.
Ralphie's running again.
Ralphie's running again, and apparently she has always ran the full field. I was wrong on that. Mark Johnson corrected me. I thought she had a game where she didn't go all the way, but apparently she did, just as good as ever. So she'll be rolling tomorrow. That's a prime time there. ESPN, right?
Yep.
Oof. You can give me. What are you thinking?
Oh man, can I save my picks for tomorrow?
You can save it for tomorrow. Friday is
I need some time to research and scout and dig in.
Friday is sacred. Okay, Friday is sacred. When you get to this, that's the pick day. Everybody knows that's pick day. Tanner always tries to get me to give my picks on Thursdays. I give one pick on Thursdays, and that begins next week for the Thursday night special.
He used to bring you in on Fridays and try to get you to pick
two hours before everything. Your show. It's like, oh, here's all the picks. Not doing that this year. All right, Angel, we'll be back at it, man, on Friday. Cannot wait. Football Friday, a full slate of Football Friday and the 1 o'clock hour. Great stuff happening here on this radio station, man. I just absolutely love it. We've got Final Countdown coming up next, and then Rams Weekly and high school football after that. Good night, Northern Colorado.